Well, that's a song that'll help you, won't it? Clay in the potter's hands. He knows how much pressure you can take. Promise not put more on you than you're able to bear. But it'll give you grace to sustain you. What a wonderful song. I tell you, it blesses my heart just to be able to come to church and just to worship and to get my soul and my spirit fed. And how many times have you ever been to church and then you get up on Monday and you go out into that world, but something was said on Sunday or some song and you're still humming it under your breath and you're still thinking about it, and it's just still feeding you throughout the day. And that's a blessing to me. And it's a blessing to me to have young ladies up here singing, godly young ladies. And well, I'm glad the world don't have them all. Don't you? And see these kids up here singing in the youth choir and serving the Lord and sitting on the front pew. That blesses my heart right there. And I could sit down to you. I could complain to you all night long. All right? I got plenty of gripes and you do too. But every once in a while, you got to see the sunshine peek through. And every once in a while, you got to realize God's good anyway, isn't he? And he's been good to me and been good to my home and my family and to our church. And I'm blessed. And I believe that tomorrow I'll be able to feed upon the service today and just rejoice in his goodness. I'm going to go. Brother Ben, the notes that you have tonight don't work. Okay? I'm going a totally different direction. So you can just take the night off. But I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 4. And you guys just play Angry Birds or whatever y'all do back there. But I'm just going to do something else tonight. Boy, you know, it's amazing to me how fickle and shallow the human heart is. And I'm talking about mine. How quick I can be in the mountaintop and then down in the valley. It's amazing to me. How that I can sing in the morning and be pouting at night in the same day. And boy, you got to watch yourself. You got to guard yourself. And the problem is not outside. The problem is inside. It's where it's at. And if you're not careful, you get all twisted up and messed up in your spirit, and you can't worship God, and you can't respond to His Word. And you know the Lord might have something for you, but you're all messed up and you're not responsive to it and can't be. And there's a verse that I've been thinking about. I was going to preach tonight from Ezekiel chapter 16 because I've been in Bible Institute talking about covenants in chapter 16. Ezekiel 16 is a pivotal chapter, so I was just going to preach from that tonight. But this afternoon, Proverbs 4 and verse 23. And boy, just a key verse. And you ought to have it committed to memory, but more importantly, committed to life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Oh, it's a good verse, isn't it? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I don't know if that's a proverb, if it's a principle. I don't know. I know that it's true. That your heart is the fountainhead of everything that you are, everything that you think, everything that you do. What you say, what your attitude is, how you live, it all stems from what is inside your heart. The issues of life, the things that colors your character, it flows out of the wellspring of the heart of man. Now you know that he's obviously not talking about the physical heart, the heart of flesh. But man's made of soul, body, soul, and spirit. And the heart is that core, that center of man's being. It's the unseen part of you that makes you what you are, makes you think what you think, makes you do what you do, makes you say what you say, makes you love what you love, makes you hate what you hate. And it's the innermost part of the soul. It's the seat of the intellect, the emotions, and the will. There's something hidden inside of you that thinks and it feels and it even wills the spirit of man and the body of man. There is something inside of you that controls you. And all of your thoughts, all of your behaviors, all of your appetites, all of your character, it flows out of that heart. Sometimes the word heart is used synonymously with the mind. Sometimes those words are used interchangeably, the mind and the heart. And sometimes it's speaking of the same thing. When you think a thought, that's a function of the mind or of the brain. But there is something that determines what you think about, and that something is the heart. The Bible said that now Haman thought in his heart. In his heart. So your thought processes, what you sit and you dwell upon, is not just a function of the brain, it's a function of the heart. A man who is constantly devising and plotting a way to cheat you out of a dollar, and there are people like that. And he's constantly scheming of how I can steal and how I can cheat. And he thinks like that because in his heart he is a thief and he's a cheat. If you could break him down to what it really is, if you could tear away all of the exterior and get right down to the core of his being, here's what you'd find. You'd find a thief. Because that's what's in his heart. If you'll tell me what you think, if you'll tell me what consumes your thought life, I'll tell you what you are. You tell me what's on your mind, and I will tell you what's in your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The heart. Now it's interesting to me that the heart is the seat of the thought life. The bowels are the seat of emotions. And I won't preach on that tonight, but sometimes the emotions are involved. But emotions are only in response to your thoughts. You don't have emotions separate from what you think, whether that's fear or joy or anger or whatever that is. The emotions are a result of your thinking, and your thinking is a manifestation of what is already in your heart. If you get mad at the preaching tonight, and I cannot possibly imagine anybody would, but if you got mad at the preaching tonight, it's because your heart hates truth. If you rejoice in the preaching tonight, it's because your heart loves truth. If you're already bored and indifferent, it's because your heart is indifferent to truth. Somebody help me a little bit, all right? It's what is in your heart. So here's what the verse says. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Be careful. Be careful what goes into your heart. And sometimes you can let bitterness or anger or whatever it might be, and it makes you a very sour person. And sometimes you have something in your heart that you don't express, but it makes you miserable. And it gets you all twisted and fouled up inside, and that's because you haven't guarded your heart. And even sitting here tonight, you know what is there, and you know that it's not holy and pure, but you're supposed to be the keeper, you're supposed to be the guardian, and if you can keep your heart right, then you can keep your thoughts pure. So keep thy heart. Well, there's a whole lot of life right there, written there. Keep thy heart with all diligence. I preached it 7 years ago. I preach it again tonight. I give you three thoughts from it. One, keep your heart fresh and pure. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. There's the image of a reservoir or a supply of water, and flowing out of that supply or that reservoir are issues of life. So keep your heart pure so that good things can proceed out of it. What good is a source of water if that source of water is polluted or poisoned? And an evil, twisted up, fouled spirit heart is like a polluted well, because good water can't come out of a poisoned well, and good things can't come out of a corrupt heart. Somebody help me now. So keep your heart fresh and pure. Your heart is more dangerous than temptation. We often blame the devil and the flesh and the world and all of that. But I'm telling you tonight that the problem is not outside of you. It's not external. But the problem is inside of us. Dr. Lester Roloff preached the classic message, Dr. Law, Dr. Grace. How many of you have ever heard that message? All right, quite a few of you. You ought to pull it up and on download and you ought to listen to it. Classic message, and Dr. Roloff, he depicts a man that goes to a doctor and he says, Doctor, I've got a problem with my eyes. And the doctor says, no, the problem is not with your eyes, it's with your heart. Doctor, I've got a problem with my hands. No, the problem is not your hands. The problem is your heart. I've got a problem with my feet or whatever it is. And constantly it's back to your heart. It's back to your heart. Brother Todd Granger and I were talking about this after Sunday school this morning. And I gave that little illustration. Could you possibly keep from sinning for 30 seconds, for 30 minutes, and for a day? And we were talking about that. I don't know that you could possibly not sin at all for a single day. And here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. If you could isolate yourself completely from the world, all right? If I could put myself in a room and lock the door and I don't hear anything, I don't see anything, I'm not around anybody, there is nothing to influence me, all right? There's no music, there's no TV, there is absolutely nothing. And I'm just isolated myself. But the problem is that when I lock myself in that room, I lock my heart in there with me. So it doesn't work. The problem is not external. The problem is internal. If your heart wasn't corrupt, then temptation wouldn't have any hold on you. If it wasn't for the bent of your heart and your flesh, then when you saw an enticing image, you would never take a second look. You would never even think another thought about it because your heart is pure. But that gets into your mind. The Lord Jesus, the Bible said that He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Temptations were thrown at Him, but watch this. Temptations never found a place in Him because He was pure and He was holy and He was undefiled and He was separate from sinners. And it never found a place in His heart because His heart was pure. So He could associate with sinners, but sinners never influenced Him. Sinners never affected Him. It never led Him down the wrong path. And the problem with our young people is not the company, though that is a problem. The problem is their heart. It's what's in their heart. Keep your heart fresh and pure. Let me give you an example of it. Look at Mark chapter 7 tonight. Mark chapter 7 tonight. The Lord Jesus is dealing with some Pharisees and they're suffering from heart trouble and they don't even know it. And so the Lord's going to take time to expose the true nature of their heart. Now here's the problem with the Pharisees. They would make great independent Baptists because they have the appearance of spirituality. Jesus knows true spirituality begins in the heart and works its way outward. And somehow we've got the idea, clean up the outside and that's a measure of true spirituality. Not at all. It's totally backwards. So look at Mark chapter 7. Look at verse number 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. When they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. I'm going to tell you something. As a Baptist pastor, I've dealt with some of the nitpickiest stuff you can ever imagine. That's nitpicky. The fault they see is our disciples are eating with unwashed. They didn't wash their hands before they ate. Here's the reason why, verse 3. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition, not the scriptures, but according to the tradition of the elders, and eat bread with unwashed hands. Now, not a bad idea to wash your hands before you eat, right? Good idea. Sanitary reasons. It's health-wise, all right? But they're not concerned about sanitation. That's not the problem. You see, in the Old Testament, they had ceremonial washing, ceremonial cleansings. The brazen laver, the priest would come and he would wash his hands before he went on in the offering and washing their hands before they made an offering. Now part of it is to keep germs down. Part of it is sanitation. But it was a ceremony to teach them the importance of being clean before you come to the altar. There was a spiritual lesson in that. So ceremonial washings, before they would defile themselves, if they defiled themselves with a dead body or something that was ceremonial, unclean, and it's a health lesson, but more importantly, it's a ritual to symbolize spiritual cleansing. So the rabbis got together, Brother Jason, and said, well, if one washing is good, two's better. So over the years, they began to add rules beyond what God did. And they had hundreds of them. And so they said, well, if you ought to wash your hands before making an offering, then we should wash our hands before we eat a meal, and wash your hands before entering into a house, and wash your hands after you leave the market. And they had all of these rules. It was so bad that one sect even preached that you had to wash one hand before you wash the other. I don't know how you do that, but that's how bad it was. Some rabbis believe that demons sat in your hands at night, and if you were to eat food without washing the demons off, then you would take demons into your body. Okay, this is their mindset. And these ceremonious washings, they take on a super spiritual meaning that went beyond the symbolized. They externalized something that should have been internal. And they confused physical defilement with spiritual defilement. They're interested in clean hands. They really ought to be interested in an unclean heart. And by the way, if anybody knew Old Testament law, those rabbis knew the Old Testament law. And if they'd have been honest with you, they'd have to tell you that there is no law that says that you have to wash your hands before you eat. It is a teaching that is extra biblical. But well, watch this. They're not concerned with what the Scriptures say. They're more concerned with tradition. We've always done it this way. And they are willing to ignore the clear Word of God for what they thought was more important. Now write this down about your heart. Your heart is a poor student of the Word of God. You know what a man's heart will do? It will take the Word of God and it will twist it and it will turn it and it will manipulate it and it will change it and it will rearrange it and it's going to put it into a box that pleases me, and all that you have to do is find a version that reads the way that you want it to read, or find a preacher or teacher that explains it the way that you already believe it. Look for interpretation that already lines up with your lifestyle. The word for that is humanism. Humanism, because it allows man to live as he pleases with a pretense of spirituality without any regard to what the Word of God says. As long as you can justify it, then you're all set. That's what they did. Now I point all of that out to say that as meticulous as they were about keeping their hands clean, you and I should be as meticulous about keeping our hearts clean. Keep thy heart with all diligence. So how do I do that? Romans 13 and verse 14. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So how do I do that? Romans 6:13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Say, how do I keep my heart? Colossians 3 and verse 8. But now you also put off all of these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, help me, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. You guard your heart by guarding what goes into it. You ought to guard what you watch and what you listen to and who you talk and what you hear. And some of you, you've got really ugly stuff in your heart right now, and there is no purity there, and it's foul, and it's putrefying. And if you ever walked up to somebody that has really, really bad breath, and it's repulsive, and if we could expose your heart tonight, it would be like that. It's the halitosis of the heart. And the Bible says you ought to keep your heart with all diligence. Yes, sir. I want my heart to be fresh and pure. My heart gets twisted up. I could tell you. I'm preaching this from me. And it's amazing to me what twists my heart up. It's nothing major. I haven't had anything major. But it's amazing to me the little things that can just send me off, give me a rotten attitude. Huh? Anybody with me tonight? Oh, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart fresh and pure, secondly. keep your heart full and large. It's not enough to insulate your heart from evil influences. You have to fill it with good and pure things. The reservoir can't go dry. It's got to ever be flowing with good things. So finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And the world that we live in is full of distractions. Distractions that may not even necessarily be wrong, but we live in a noisy world and there is so much competing for our attention and trying to occupy our mind. But I want my heart to be filled with good things. What was your finger? Look at Isaiah chapter 12. Let me show you a verse here. Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse number 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Now look at verse number 3. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Salvation is not a one-time done deal. No, salvation is like a well that you can run to every day and you can draw a fresh drink of water, a fresh supply of water from every day. It's like getting a drink from the faucet. That's how salvation is to a thirsty soul. Jesus spoke to that woman at the well in John chapter 4, and He said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Watch this. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I got to tell you, that's what happened to me when I got saved. It's like God gave me a well and put it down inside of me. And for the last 40 years, I've been going back to the well and getting a fresh drink of water and refreshing, and it's ever springing into everlasting life. Your soul may get parched and dry, but there is a well inside of you that will refresh you, and you should never have to go to that world for satisfaction because you have it in your heart right now. Young person, listen to me. Don't you think that there is something wrong with the heart when you're going back to the polluted wells of the world to fill the heart? Isn't there something wrong there? Don't you think that there is something wrong in the heart when you're running back to pop music and rock and roll and country and Taylor Swift and Josh Groban and whoever else, and you're going to that well that got quiet there? Don't you think there's something wrong when you're going back to pop music and rock and roll and country and Josh Groban and Taylor Swift and whoever else, and you're drawing from those polluted wells to fill your heart? Don't you think there's something wrong in your heart when you're running back to Hollywood to fill it up with the slop of the world? No, I've got a well of salvation in my heart, and I go back and draw from that well. Keep your heart by keeping it fresh and pure, but by keeping it full and large. If you would have a clean heart, you would have a heart that would issue out of pure springs, then keep it out of the filth of the world and fill it up with pleasant and good things. Oh. How do you do that? Proverbs 4. Let me come back here. I feel like preaching just a minute. Now, how do you do this? Look at Proverbs 4 and verse 20. This verse has a context. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Incline your heart to wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified in Jesus Christ. Can I say it like this? Feed on Him. Let Him be your daily meditation and your daily desire. Man, think of the great truths that we have in Jesus Christ. How can you ever be dry? How can you be parched? How can you ever be empty when you have the Word of God and the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you? So Colossians 3, Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Why would you ever want to look at dirty pictures on the internet? Why would you ever want to listen to dirty jokes on the job? Why would you ever want to watch stupid videos on YouTube that are dirty and filthy when you can listen to good singing and good preaching and something that edifies you? Don't you love it when somebody walks up to you and says, man, I was reading in the book of Exodus and I saw this verse. It tells you what he's been feeding on. Do they ever? Is there any portion of the Word of God that speaks to you? Huh? Maybe it's Leviticus. Huh? Maybe it's First Chronicles. Boy, I love the book of... Boy, those first seven chapters just blesses my heart. I don't know what it is. Huh? But does your soul feed on the Word of God? Do you ever just rejoice and ruminate and just meditate on the goodness of God and go down the road and just sing it? I like to listen to podcasts. Download them on my phone and listen to them going down the road. And I listen to some history, Don Carlin maybe, some business podcasts, investing and stuff like that. But here's what I find. I find that I get consumed with the subject of the week. I do. I'm a bit of an extremist that way. You know how some people binge watch TV? They sit down the next 2 days and watch every episode of, you know, as the stomach churns or whatever that show is, whatever it's called. I tend to binge listen to podcasts. And I tend to dwell on it, even a good subject. But even if it's a good subject, I don't want it crowding out meditations of Christ. I want my heart to be full of Him. So keep your heart fresh and pure. Watch it. Watch it. And keep your heart full and large. And then I would say, keep your heart flowing and active. Don't let your heart get stagnant and stale. Guarded from the world, full of good things, flowing out to others. Proverbs 10 and verse 11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Proverbs 18 and verse 4, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. There's a difference between a lake and a pond. A lake has something flowing in and it has something flowing out. It comes in and it goes out. But a pond is just stagnant. There's nothing coming in, there's nothing going out. It's good for your heart to take in the good things of God, but you can't just take it in. You want to be a reservoir, you want to be a channel of blessing. You don't want blessing to flow to you and stop. You want blessings to flow through you to somebody else. I'll give you an example of John chapter 7. You still with me? John chapter 7. I'll give you an example of this. So John chapter 7. And one verse, and we'll come back and pick up another verse. But John 7 verse 37. Temple. We're at the temple in Jerusalem. And in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. There were three major feasts of Israel. There was Pentecost, Passover, Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is the feast that's mentioned in verse 37, that great day of the feast. And the reason I know that is because verse number two, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Feast of Tabernacles. Now the Feast of Tabernacles was a week-long celebration for the nation of Israel. It was a feast that they celebrated to remind them of God bringing them out of the wilderness. And what they would do is they would leave their houses for a week and they would go out and they would build a booth out of branches and they would live in those booths for a week to commemorate the time that they lived in tents in the wilderness. Look at Leviticus chapter 20. Hold your finger right there. Go to Leviticus chapter 23. I'll show you something tonight. Leviticus chapter 23 describes that feast. And Leviticus chapter 23, look at verse number 34. Leviticus 23, 34. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. Verse 39. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye should keep it feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day there should be a Sabbath. On the eighth day there should be a Sabbath. Ye should take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days, and ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. In John chapter 7, they're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. Now this is something that stretches all the way back to Leviticus. It's continuing in Jesus' day. And like everything else, they had added a lot of practices and a lot of things to the original feast. It took on a life of itself. So come back to John chapter 7. Here's what they would do. They would come to Jerusalem. They would go and they would gather branches. And they would come to the temple. And they would take these branches and they would hold them together. And they would create like a covering or a roof over the altar. And then the priest would come out with a golden pitcher. And the priest would go to the pool of Siloam. And would fill it with water. He'd come back to the temple. He'd come back to that altar where the people were, and they had those branches covering that altar, and he would pour the water out near that altar. And the people would quote Isaiah 12 and verse 3, we read it. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And then they would sing Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. Levites would be playing instruments, the people would be singing, big ceremony. That ends the Feast of Tabernacles. That's what they're doing. In John 7. And in the middle of that, I don't know, maybe just as the water's being poured out, remembering how God provided water in the wilderness, the Bible says that Jesus stood and cried. I can see it. They're pouring this water out, commemorating the water, reading Isaiah 12, and Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. They're acting out a great illustration, and Jesus wants them to know that they're illustrating Him. They're illustrating Him is what they're doing. And what a great statement. And we look at verse number 37, and we equate that with salvation. If you are thirsty, Jesus is the living water. But then Jesus says something else, verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He didn't just fill us with living water. Coming to Jesus and having your thirsty soul satisfied is not the end. It's the beginning. In verse 37, you get the supply of water. In verse 38, you become the supplier. The water of life is not just to well up in us. It is to flow from out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Look at Isaiah 58. I'll tie it together. Isaiah 58, verse 10. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. If you draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, if you give out, the Lord will replenish you. I'll give you a good example of it. Friday night? Was it Friday night, Ronald McDonald House? How many of you went to Ronald McDonald House? Let me see your hand. Quite a few of you. So Friday night, our church goes to Ronald McDonald House, and they prepare a meal for the folks that are staying there. Their children in the hospital and some serious illnesses. And so the Ronald McDonald House provides a place for them, and volunteer organizations come in and prepare a meal. And so our folks went over there, and they prepared a meal. And then they got to sit down and talk to some of the people, and they didn't get anything out of it. They didn't get paid for it. All they did is they prepared a meal, and they sat down and talked with people, and they were a blessing. And I talked to Samantha, I talked to Brother Bobby. The paradox is they didn't come out empty, they came out full. The paradox about it is that when you empty yourself out to others, God fills you with Himself. So in being a blessing, they were blessed. Does that make sense to you? That's the paradox of Christianity. Can I help you tonight with your depression? Can I help you tonight? You're depressed because you sit around and you think all the time about the two things in your life that's wrong and forget about the 100 things that are right. But all that you can think about are the two things that are not going the way that you like for it to be. And some of the most depressed people on earth happen to be the most blessed people on earth. Isn't that ironic? I'll say it again. Some of the most depressed people on earth are some of the most blessed people on earth. Hey, why don't you go talk to the 27-year-old mama whose baby's in the hospital because she took drugs while she had the baby and she knows it and she's just praying someone turn it around. Why don't you go to the children's hospital where they've got babies that are born with cancer and MD and polio? See, the problem is that we take in and we take in and we take in and we take in and we take in, but we become stagnant because we never give out. And if you would be blessed, then be a blessing. And I ought to start with a good altar call. Forgive me for the dark selfishness of my heart. Help me to learn to be a giver and not a taker. Keep your heart. You better keep your heart. You better keep your heart from getting twisted and fouled and ugly. And keep it fresh and pure and guarded from the slop of this world, piano player. And keep your heart full of the good things of God, that the pure and the pleasant truth of Scripture can flow through. Keep your heart flowing and giving out to others and being a blessing to other people. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God, the verse that has spoken to me these last couple of days. You know tonight who needs this message, and surely somebody does. And I pray tonight that if your people are sitting here with issues in that heart that they know is not right, I pray that you'd grant them repentance tonight. Why would we leave? Why would we leave tonight with things in our heart that does not please you? It'll foul up our life and our thinking and our attitude. So help us tonight to keep our heart with all diligence. He's playing.